I've been looking at the life of our Apostle Paul, as you know, by the lessons that I started on Wednesday night. And I thought just a few things I wanted to mention tonight. And one thing stands out that is impressive is that Paul was certainly a man of prayer. And remarkably so in comparison with others. And the great majority of the recorded prayers of the apostles that we find in the New Testament are from the heart of Paul. As I said, in comparison, the great majority. And this is to be expected, after all, for several reasons. Because Paul was preeminently the apostle to the Gentiles. Unto him was given the revelation concerning this church age. And we think of Peter and James and John. They ministered principally to the Jewish believers. And in Galatians, the second chapter, I'm going to read verses 7 through 9. Galatians 2, 7 through 9. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, speaking of the Gentiles, the circumcision, of course, are the Jewish believers, but the uncircumcised was committed unto me as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, speaking of Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen, to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcision, to the Jews. So, also, in speaking of the reasons, also Paul wrote twice as many epistles as all the other apostles together. And there are eight times as many prayers in his epistles as in all of theirs. And the first thing that was said of Saul, that was his name before he's called Paul, after his conversion, the very first thing that was said of him, we find in Acts 9:11. And what does it say? It says, "Behold, he prayeth." Yes. This, that become the keynote of his life. And not that the other apostles did not have a prayer life. Of course they did, for God does not employ prayerless ministers. Yet certain servants enjoyed closer fellowship with the Lord than others. And Paul was favored above his fellows with a spirit of prayer that is, as I said, it is outstanding. And for such was the favor, you might say, bestowed upon him because of his love for Christ. It was his deep love for Christ and also for the saints. And he had an intense concern for the spiritual well-being of the believers and of their growth. And many of them that he led to the Lord on his missionary journeys, he was concerned about them after they were believers. He wanted to see that they grew spiritually. And so that's what we find in not only in the book of Acts that's recorded, but also in his epistles, how that he gave forth the truth that they might be established and that they might grow spiritually. And he continued to pray for to God for them continually. And with thanksgiving also of their behalf. Well, I kind of get a little bit sidetracked on prayer, but I don't want to get too sidetracked on the subject of prayer. It's just some notes that I thought were important to write down and to share with you tonight. In Scripture, prayer includes much more than making requests to God for our needs. For some, that's the only time they pray. But it is much more. The prayer life is much more. I hope I can do this justice by making some comments about it. Philippians 4:6, I wrote that down. Let's see why I did. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, yes. Now, this tells about making our request unto God, but there's much more here than that. Be careful, or don't worry, don't be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So that's, even though this is about making requests, there's much more here, isn't there? Much more. And unless gratitude is expressed for past mercies that we have received, and thanks given for continued favor of God, how can we expect to obtain God's ear and receive answers? Yes, let us come unto him with thanksgiving. We had so much this morning on the goodness of God and of his mercy. And we read quite a few verses from the Psalms and one shared testimony, which I thought was good. Thank the Lord. Well, prayer rises even above thanking God for his blessings. Our hearts are enlarged, contemplating the giver himself. Not just his blessings, but God himself in worship and in adoration. That's why we come together and meet together. It is to worship our God and our Savior and to learn his word, to know what he has to say unto us, and that we might lay a hold of it, that it might be made practical in our lives, that we might grow spiritually and be encouraged on this race course to win Christ. Yet another aspect of prayer is confession of our unworthiness and of our sinfulness. I mentioned that this morning. None of us are perfect, or we wouldn't be here. If we were perfect, he'd take us on home. But praise the Lord, we must ever remind ourselves of who it is that we are approaching. We're approaching our Father. and he is even the Most High. He's over all. He's the one that made us, praise the Lord. And because of the fall, he has redeemed us, and he has promised us so much more that if we just study Paul's epistles, we realize all of the riches of his grace that is unto us. There's so many sidelines we could go into here, but we'll. It is only by God's grace that he has made us his sons. We never want to be unmindful of the grace of God toward us. And I say us together, all of God's family, but individually. His love toward me, his love toward you, and that he cares about us, and that he's working in our lives. And praise the Lord, we want to give him always the glory. Just the fact that he has made us his sons, that's enough to praise the Lord about, isn't it? Yes, continually. Well, we plead the merits of Christ as the grounds of our approach when we come unto God, but it's all been of God's grace, all of his grace that he gave his son to bring us into his family, to die for our sins, and praise the Lord. And he rose again, giving us new life. Well, wow. Well, just as in the Old Testament, we read of the various spices that were compounded together for the incense that was offered in the tabernacle and in the temple. I'm not going to turn and read it, but you find it in Exodus, the 30th chapter, especially verses 34 and 35, of those various spices that were compounded together to make up that incense when they came into the tabernacle and temple in the presence of God. So there should be a blending of our humiliation and of supplication, of our adoration. It should be proportionately mingled. Just as we read here in Philippians, proportionately mingled in our approach to the throne of grace, a blending together. I would like for us to turn to Acts, the 6th chapter. Acts 6:4, I want to read. Acts, the 6th chapter, and verse 4. But we give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, this is concerning the apostles and their ministry. But we will continue, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The apostles devoted themselves continually to prayer and ministering of the word. And it is an example for to follow, especially for ministers, but notice the order here. Isn't all of the things that are in the New Testament, it is for all of the people of God, written unto all. And we notice the order here. What came first, the ministry? No. It was prayer, wasn't it? Yes. Prayer continually. And then, praise the Lord, the ministry. The sermon should be a product of earnest prayer. So I'm not only speaking like I'm preaching at you. That's true. I have to consider this too, that put that time in prayer in preparing the message and trusting him to enable to give forth what he gives, to be given. And then it should be followed by prayer that for the saints, that seed that has been planted, that it would be watered and there would be growth, that it would bring forth growth in the believers. So after the message has been given, there still should be prayer given. I read something this afternoon, and I thought that's pretty good. Martin Luther once said, there's three things that make a successful preacher: supplication, meditation, and tribulation. I thought that was interesting, so I wrote that down. I thought, I want to include that. But the lessons in the epistles are not just for preachers, but they are for all believers. The epistles are addressed to God's people at large. And in them, in the epistles, we find what is needed, the teaching that we need and that we need to hear, that we need to consider, that we need to meditate upon, and that we lay a hold of it individually, personally, for our lives. Yes, our daily lives. I desire sometime in the near future to give forth a series on the prayers of Paul, which I certainly am not going to try to do tonight, but I would like to do that sometime in the near future, the Lord willing. One thing that got my attention, though, was the brevity of the apostles' prayers. They were especially brief. Most of them that we find are in one or two verses, and the longest one is found in 7 verses. I think that's something to meditate on and to consider. And this certainly rebukes the lengthy, lifeless, and wearisome prayers that are given by many. And wordy prayers are usually windy prayers. Prayer in the spirit and in truth is the inward desire that is issuing from the depths of our heart unto God. Though the apostles' prayers are brief, yet we find, as you read them, that they were very explicit. Not ramblings or just generalizing things and saying general things. They especially request are for definite things. And when I say they were explicit, they were short, but they were explicit. They weren't aimless. They weren't lacking in point and unity. You know, some prayers seem to be indirectly preaching more than they are directly praying. We have to remember who we're talking to and for what purpose. Well, prayer is addressed to God, and we know they asked Jesus, for to teach them how to pray, and he gave a pattern prayer, and we learn much from that. I thought, well, that'd be a good lesson too, but I don't plan to go into that step by step tonight, but In addressing to God, we are speaking to Him. Not to be heard by others, to just be to impress, but we have to remember, who are we talking to? Who are we praying to? And just as in Jesus' pattern prayer, He says, Our Father, that's how it starts, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then continues. Well, I'm going to read just a few excerpts from Paul's prayers, even though that's not our study tonight. But, oh, we learned so much. Let's go to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians 1 and verse 17 through 19. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. And then let's go to the third chapter of Ephesians. And I'm going to start reading with 16 through 19. And you'll see some of the things that that I said were so impressive. They're brief, but they're explicit. And verse 16 of the third chapter, and I'm going to read through 19, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1. I'm going to read verse 19, and I can tell I've written down a wrong verse because I've got 19 to 11. Now that don't make sense, does it? So I think it must be 21 maybe. All right, Philippians 1:19, and for to know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. And I'm going to read verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Don't you just see His care of the saints? And His desire and His concern? Yes. Let's read one more. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. 1 Thessalonians 5. And verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, well, of course it is not unscriptural to pray for ourselves. I don't know. I hope nobody gets that impression that I'm saying that. Paul did pray for himself, as we read in 2 Corinthians 12:8, and I think you're all familiar with that, how he sought the Lord thrice, that thorn that he was experiencing might depart from him. And the Lord did answer his prayer. And the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness." Well, we could go on with that. That's a wonderful lesson, too. Paul generally prayed for the whole household of faith. That's a kind of unusual there, where he prayed for himself. He generally prayed for the whole household of faith. Just like the pattern prayer of Christ, we see that. And it certainly stands out. I wrote down Ephesians 6:18. I better turn back there. I forgot what I wrote it down for. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." That's why I wrote it down. How he was generally praying for the whole household of faith. If I pray for all the saints, well, I'm included, aren't I? And we can learn so much from the prayers of the apostles, and especially our Apostle Paul. And maybe sometime in the future, I will get to make a series of lessons on that. And we will continue with Paul on Wednesday night and on his first missionary journey. Well, that's all I have tonight. Unless someone has something that you would like to add or you would like to say.
Well, intercessory prayer, if you can't do anything else,
uh-huh,
physically, you know, say if somebody's disabled,
uh-huh,
they can't get out of their home or whatever.
We can always pray.
Prayer for the saints and
yes,
for others and
yes,
so on is something that we can
yes
all do.
Yes.
Even if we think we can't do anything else.
Yes, that's right. Amen. Yes.
God doesn't tell us something and say, "I can't do this because you don't know the prayer I have." You said he wants us to believe what he said, and by trusting his word, strengthens our expectation in our prayers.
Yes. I have often said in the past that to be spiritually healthy, we should in our life, it should be well balanced, the study of the word and prayer. You know, we could get a little lopsided and just be just this reading of the word, and maybe even sometimes memorizing it or just a study of the word. But to be really spiritually healthy, it should be well balanced with our prayer life, our communication with our God and with our Lord and Savior. And that is very important, to be spiritually healthy.
I've heard a strong invitation. A person say one time where I go to church for the week that God never talks to them. Well, I don't know about other Bibles, but in the King James, there's 783,137 words of text.
Mm-hmm. 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 And it's God's word to us. Uh-huh. And then we even read, "And God said."
You want to be accurate in your prayer life, you need to know what God said he would do. Because he draws us that way. He tells us, "Come boldly to the throne of grace."
Mm-hmm.
And he might.
Yes, amen.
God says, come to me boldly.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Sometimes people even fail to pay attention to that. And God says, here you are. I've given this to mm-hmm. you for your spiritual training and mm-hmm. upgrowth. And even praying on one another.
Yes.
Growth.
Yes.
Our hearts and lives. Jesus took the leadership when it, in Christendom, by the way, he upheld others in prayer.
Yes.
Faithfulness of his Father God.
That we have his word. How precious that is. And we should count it very precious. Yes. And that we can come into God's presence as our Father and approach him as his children. Oh, praise the Lord. How rich we are. How rich we are.
And America doesn't realize how blessed they are because they've got the freedom to read the Bible.
Uh-huh, yeah. Take it for granted.
Uh-huh.
That's right, that's right. And in some places they are. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for coming out.